My name is Mary Witkowski. I'm the city historian of Bridgeport, and I am sitting on May 3rd, 2007 at the North Branch Library with Mildred Brewster, who is kindly going to sit down and do an oral history with me. Hi, Mildred.
Hi.
What is the date of your birth first?
March 20th, 1913.
And when were you born? Where were you born?
I was born in Holyoke, Massachusetts.
Oh, interesting. And where were your parents from?
My mother was from Three Rivers, Mass, and my father was from New Britain, Connecticut.
Okay. And what were their names?
Her maiden name was Permelia, P-E-R-M-E-L-I-A. Most people don't get it right. Wood. And his name is Peter Brewster.
Peter Brewster. That is one of the reasons why we're here today. Mildred's father was Peter Brewster, who worked in the Jasper McLevy administration. What brought your folks here to Bridgeport?
Well, his mother and stepfather lived here, and my father worked here. I guess that's the reason they came to Bridgeport.
Okay. So repeat that again? His stepfather?
Stepfather.
Okay.
My grandmother was married twice. Uh-huh. Her first husband she divorced, and she married. His name was Gustav Meyer.
Really?
Yes. Not Gustav Meyer, that's the orchestra.
That's uncanny.
But he played in the orchestra.
Oh, wow.
They had Park Theater that was right around the corner from them. And he played there, and his son, who was my father's half-brother, played the violin, and his daughter played the piano. They were all in the orchestra for the Park Theater.
In the Park Theater, right on Main Street?
It was on Main Street, just right around the corner from, Gilbert. Mm-hmm. It was, I think, Main and Gilbert Street.
Across the street from where the Barnum Museum is today, I think.
Well, it would be, the Barnum Museum is down Main Street a little further. There was a Park Theater in one corner, and the Empire Theater was on the other corner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Park Theater had musicals. You know, they had mm-hmm. musicals. The Empire was mostly pictures, you know. It just wasn't mm-hmm. a musical
thing. We'll get to that yet. I'm just asking a little bit about your family. And did your mother work at all? Or
no.
Now, how did your father and mother meet?
That I don't know.
Okay. And when did they come here to the city? Around what year?
Well, they must have come in about, because I went to Sacred Heart School, first grade, and so they were here in about 1914, 15, somewhere around in there, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So they actually met here in Bridgeport?
No, they met in Holyoke, Mass, because mm-hmm. my mother was from Holyoke. I mean, mm-hmm. she and all her family were up from Massachusetts there.
Okay, interesting. And if they came in around 1914, what brought them to the city? Do you have any idea?
My father's job, I guess, what he was working at.
Where was he working?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I think he worked for different contractors. He was a painter,
mm-hmm.
paper hanger, you know, and mm-hmm. that's what he did, and I guess he just worked for different contractors
mm-hmm.
around.
Do you have any idea where they first lived when they moved here?
They lived, when I went to Sacred Heart School, we lived on the corner of Park and right across from the school. Now, I don't think it's a school anymore. I think it's something else now.
Mm-hmm.
But we lived right across the street.
On Park Avenue?
On Park Avenue.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, as I later on, we moved to Waller Court, which is down closer to Main Street. It runs between Main and Broad. And my grandmother lived down the corner. Gilbert, my grandma, and my father's mother, lived down the corner of Gilbert and Broad Street.
Hmm.
Dr. Osborne lived in it was a duplex house, and it was three stories high. And I can remember as a kid sliding down the banister. I used to love that. And Dr. Osborne and his two sisters lived on one side of the house, my grandmother on the other side, which, you know, her family.
So it was a pretty short walk over there from where you lived. your grandmother's house?
Yes, but we finally moved in with her, if I remember. I don't know. I'm not too sure. It seems like I can remember as a little girl, my mother was sick. She got the influenza, you know, at that time, mm-hmm. and I remember living there at that point. And I don't know whether it was because my mother got sick or what happened, but...
Very interesting. So Peter Brewster's, which is your dad, his mother lived there, and his father had already passed away, or...?
No, he lived out in Chicago. My grandfather did.
Oh, okay.
Because my father's brother, who was Paul Brewster, lived in Chicago, and I guess that my grandfather moved out there after he and my grandmother got divorced. I guess
Oh, okay.
He moved to Chicago.
Uh-huh. So, what was it like going to school at Sacred Heart School? Do you remember anything about it?
Yes, I can. One of the things I do remember is when my brother was born, he was 7 years younger than I was. I can remember going into school to tell the nuns that we had a baby brother.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get anything out of me for about a week because I was so excited about having a baby. And, you know, around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, she'd call on me for, you know, how much is 2 and 2? And instead of saying 4, I'd say, I got a baby brother. I should remember that. I remember it like it was yesterday. It's
wow.
Funny the things that you remember.
Yeah.
From childhood. I also remember when they built the library that's across the street? What's on the corner over there? Is it the library? No.
It was a library.
There was a library there.
Yeah.
I know that on Broad Street, going up Broad Street towards Maine, or not towards Maine, but going up Broad Street towards State and Fairfield Avenue, there seemed like there used to be a church on every single corner there,
mm-hmm.
all the ways up. And then I know that there was a bunch of row houses across the street between Gilbert Street and State, and they tore those down. They put up, this is a real library. What's there now? Is it a library?
Well, it's the Burroughs Library.
It's the Burroughs
yeah,
Library.
The big library, yeah.
Yeah,
the main branch.
That used to be down on the corner of Main and John.
Exactly.
And then they moved it over there. And I remember when they moved it there, they put this nice sidewalk in, and I used to roller skate on that, and it would like sing, you know, it would.
Wow.
I can remember the roller skating, going across the street and roller skating up and down on a new sidewalk.
Say, do you remember going to the old library when it was on Main Street?
Yeah.
Because yeah. This library was built in 1927-28.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Do you remember the old library on Main Street?
Yeah, I can remember it was like, it seemed like it was an old brownstone or something. And I can remember you'd go in the door and you'd have to go up a flight of stairs. That I remember going up the stairs.
With the banister, like
yeah.
a brass rail?
I don't remember what the rail was. That I don't remember. But I remember you had to go up a flight of stairs before you got into the library itself, I think. But I remember, yeah, that on the corner. And the bank is there now. They, when they tore that down, they put the bank up.
So getting back to going to school... and when you were in first and second grade, do you know where your father was working then?
He evidently, I think he worked for different, you know, painting contractors around, but I don't know who he worked for. I have no idea.
So what did you do in the neighborhood? What was the fun thing to do around the, I mean, did you go to Seaside Park, or did you go to activities in the city?
You went to the park, and... you know, you played around with the children in the neighborhood. I mean, you played ball. As I say, I was like a regular tomboy. I would play with baseball and, you know, running and skating and things like that with all the rest of the kids in the neighborhood, you know.
Did you belong to any teams, or do you remember watching any teams or anything?
No.
Uh-huh.
It was just, you know, just neighborhood children just getting together playing.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, my father had, you know, ball and bats and stuff, and he would let us play with them because, you know, letting me take them made me something because of the fact that I was able to furnish balls and bats for the kids and, you know, and we played
in the neighborhood, yeah, that's great.
In the street and just, you know, got around and play ball and throw balls around and stuff.
So would you play right on Park Avenue, or would you play?
Oh, no, we didn't play on Park Avenue. By that time, we had moved over to St. Mary's Parish on the east side, I can remember, I went to St. Mary's School.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I graduated from St. Mary's, and then I went to Harding. And, I can't remember what grade I was in when I went to St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
I know I didn't go to Sacred Heart too long. It was only like maybe 2 years or something mm-hmm. like that, so we must have moved.
Do you remember the ballots at Sacred Heart at all? They had a bell that they would ring in the school there.
Yeah.
Old-fashioned ringing
uh-uh.
bell. So at St. Mary's, where did you go to a church then?
St. Mary's.
Yeah, and what was that like?
Because the church was across the street from the school.
Mm-hmm.
And then the priest's house, the rectory, was right next to the church. And then the nuns lived down the block on a corner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the name of it, but it was Pembroke Street. But I don't know what the name of the side street was
mm-hmm.
there that they lived in. And, I can remember. And I graduated, as I say, from St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that was 1926 when I graduated from, yeah.
So you made your first Holy Communion?
Oh, yeah, St.
Mary's
confirmation.
Uh-huh.
Father Lynch, and he was... I can remember he was real handsome, and all the women in the neighborhood, you know, all the neighbors,
uh-huh.
oh, they just thought he was the greatest. Yeah, he was a good-looking priest, but, I mean, it didn't make that much difference to me, but I remember hearing people in the neighborhood talk, you know,
uh-huh.
about this one has such a, well, like it was a crush on, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You know. He was a good-looking
good.
Priest.
Did your mother work, like, in the altar society or do anything in the outside of the house
no.
at all?
No, she was strictly a home maker, a home buddy.
What was, was she a good cook or did she, anything particular that you remember her making or food?
No, she was a good cook, though. I mean, we always had plenty of good food on the table. I mean, she made good cakes and pies. Her
mm-hmm.
pies were good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can always remember her good pies.
Mm-hmm.
But she just never worked. She was stayed home. Well, it was five kids. I mean, let's face it.
Right.
You couldn't very well work with five kids, young kids around, you know.
And you were the oldest.
I was the oldest.
What were your brothers and sisters doing around, you know, growing up? Do you remember anything that they did in particular that was like an unusual or things that they, mm-hmm. Your brother was 3 years younger than you?
My brother was 7 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I was 7 years old when my brother Fred
mm-hmm.
was born. And then my sister Dorothy, who lives next door to me now, I was 10 when she was born. And then my brother Robert, I was about 13, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether Dolores is, I can't remember now whether Robert was, I can remember being excited about Freddie when he was
mm-hmm.
born because I was still down in Sacred Heart School. And I was 7, so I don't know,
right.
I had to be Sacred Heart School. But I remember when he was born, I was all excited. The rest of them came along for that time.
so when you were living over on the east side, on what street was it?
Curtis Avenue.
Curtis Ave. What was the address?
40.
40 Curtis Avenue. What was that house like?
It was, I remember it had a front porch, and we had the street light was right in front of our house. And I know that all the kids in the neighborhood congregated on our porch because the light was there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on a summer evening, you know, we would all sit out on the porch and chat and, you know, play games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was right, we always sort of congregated on our front porch because of the street light being there. I'm sure that's the reason.
Did you ever have to go to the store or anything, like around
there?
Yeah. What stores did you go to that were near there at that time?
Logan's was the grocery store. That was on East Main and Nichols Street. Yeah, East Main and Nichols,
mm-hmm.
Logan's. And then on the other corner across the street was Parrott's, the meat market.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Parrott's Meat Market. And so we got our meat and stuff like that. And I can remember my mother telling me, this I always remember, and to this day, I think I still do it once in a while. She would say, go to the store and get, tell them you want 2 pounds or whatever it was, a pound, half a pound, a quarter of a pound, or 5 pounds or whatever it was, round steak. And after he cuts the round steak down, then tell him to put it in the chopping machine. She didn't want him to pull up scraps, in other words, or any old thing.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so she wanted a round steak chopped. So I would go to the meat market, and I would say to the butcher, I want a pound of round steak. Do you want it chopped? I don't know. I'll tell you afterwards whether I do or I don't. I want a pound of round steak. So he'd cut the round steak down, and he'd put it on the scale. And he'd say, what do you want? Do you want me to chop it, or are you going to take it the way it is? I can always remember this. Mr. What was his name? O'Toole, I think it was. Mr. O'Toole or something like that. I'd say, all right, put it through the chopping machine. My mother was going to make some kind of a meatloaf mm-hmm. or something out of it. I don't know what she was going to, whatever it was anyhow. But she wanted rounds. She wanted fresh cut meat. She mm-hmm. didn't want any scraps picked up from around. I always remember
that's
that.
That's smart. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, I always remember that, going to that Paris meat market. They must have hated me.
Was there any place around the neighborhood that you could buy candy or like a store?
Yeah, there was a store across from Paris on East Main. It was run by Jewish people. I remember that because there weren't too many Jewish people in the neighborhood. And I can't remember what their name was. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, they had candy and ice cream, and I can remember they had a theater up the street, the Capitol Theater, that showed movies. And whenever, on a Saturday night, they changed the movie or they had it for a cheaper price or something, my father would take us, and we would stop by and get candy, and then we'd go on up to the movie
wow.
theater to see the movie. That was sort of a Saturday night ritual.
That's neat.
So,
what was do you remember the first movie you ever saw? No.
Yeah. Oh boy. 90 years ago, no.
Did you watch any Cagney movies or anything? Or?
Oh yeah, I saw. Yeah. I think I saw all the movies that were ever made, I think I've seen. But no, I wouldn't remember
mm-hmm.
what the first one was. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
Yeah. But people walked everywhere, right?
Oh yeah, you walked. Oh, yeah, because I went to Harding High School, and from Curtis Avenue, I walked up to Harding, mm-hmm. and it was a long walk.
So you went to Harding High School when it first opened, pretty much.
Yeah, well, I think it was, I don't know, it was a year or 2 years along by the uh-huh. time I got to it. It was a couple of years old. It wasn't the first year,
mm-hmm.
I know.
Right.
But it was close to me, and it was nice. It was a nice new school.
What was high school like when you went, you know, what particular classes, any that you were taking, or did you?
I can remember algebra, and I had a very good algebra teacher, and I can't think of her name. She was a very attractive woman, tall, nice woman, but I can't remember mm-hmm. what her name was. It was a long time ago.
Right, yeah. And was there did you go into the business area, or did they?
I went to business school, and then after I got out of high school, after there, I went to Booth and Bayless Business School.
Which one?
Booth and Bayless.
And where was that at?
It was on, was it State Street or Fairfield Avenue? I've forgotten. But I remember going there. Miss Walsh was the teacher there that I remember.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Mr. Bayless.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a friend of my father's, and I guess that's how I happened to go there.
Right.
And the first job I ever had was with Hannon Lumber Company. I can remember going up there. Mr. Bayless sent me up there for a job.
Mm-hmm. You think in particular you were doing? Were you secretary?
Well, it was secretary and bookkeeping and answering the telephone. And it was a switchboard. And I can remember they sent me over because I didn't know, went in and up from on a switchboard. So they sent me over to the mm-hmm. telephone company to have them show me how to operate a switchboard.
Wow.
So I went over there to learn how to operate the switchboard.
What year would that have been?
Oh, I don't remember.
32 or something?
Let's see. 1932, somewhere around, uh-huh. you know, in that area.
And where was, do you remember where the telephone company was at that time? Is it the?
I think it was where it is now, uh-huh. if I
the old building.
If I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was where, I'm not sure. I really can't remember.
Did you have a telephone at home?
Yeah.
Oh, you did, okay.
Oh, we had a telephone, mm-hmm. but, we always had a telephone. God, we had a telephone from the time I was a kid, because right. we'd get on the telephone, my mother would be screaming at us, get off the phone. You know, they still do today, I guess.
No, let's get to your father and his work, maybe. Let's think about that a little bit, because he was, when you were a kid, he had a pretty important job for the city, right?
Yeah, he was director of the Public Works Department. And that was probably one of the biggest jobs, you know, next to being the mayor, I guess, in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Schwarzkopf was city clerk. Yeah, city clerk mm-hmm. he was. And that was an important job. And I remember his wife, Anna, and they had two children or just one girl or something. But anyhow, they had a baby anyways. And my father... I guess that he ran on the mayor's ticket for city clerk, I think, for a while with Jasper. And then the year that he didn't run was the year that Jasper got elected, I think. That's how it worked out. And Fred Schwarzkopf got elected because they elected the city clerk along mm-hmm. with the mayor. And so my father was put into the Public Works Department. And I can remember there was always somebody at our front door looking for this or wanting this, and you know, it seems like they wanted the street paved or they wanted the sidewalk repaired or they wanted something done. We had more people coming in, and my mother would say to me, don't answer the door, you know, it's only somebody wants something.
Wow. He must have had a lot of people working for him.
Yeah, he was in the city hall. I can remember it was where, you know, it was on State Street there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the second floor, I think. Jasper was up on the third floor. And he had the front office, I remember, because I remember looking out. As a matter of fact, I was in New York City. And I remember coming up one time, and I was up, to see him about something. And we were looking out the window, and they were just building the thruway at that point.
Wow.
And I can remember my father saying, that thing is obsolete before they even started. He said they should have more lanes in it.
He was right about that.
He was right about that, because the thing, I mean, that thruway should have mm-hmm. more lanes in it. But I guess they just didn't have the ground to take to put any more lanes. But I can remember my father. I always remember that, standing in the window, and we looked out, and you could see down that little side street there. I can't think of the name of it. It's in back. It runs between
right.
State and
yeah.
Gilbert, I think it is. It's
yeah.
a little street. And I can remember you could see it being built, and he said that thing is obsolete.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So do you remember... When, in the 1930s at all, when he was working public works, did he have any, the Works Progress Administration, the WPA workers working for? Because I think they were, but, you know, a lot of people were out of jobs, and it was a hard time.
I don't remember. I don't recall. You know, whether there were, I imagine they must have had some on.
Do you remember the big snowstorm in the 30s? A couple of big snowstorms.
No, it seemed like we were always having snowstorms. Yeah, there was always...
There was a hurricane in 1938, too. That
yeah, but that.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember at that point... I remember going down down Tunxus Hill Road for some reason. I can always remember, and I was living with two girls out in Black Rock, and I can remember the trees falling down, you know, all around me as I was driving down the street, you know, down the street. And never occurred to me. I never heard of a hurricane or typhoons or, you know, they didn't mean anything, you know, at that point. And it never occurred to me that it was a hurricane. And I'm riding down the street, you know, trying to avoid cars, trying to avoid trees falling down. I finally got home, put the car in the backyard, and went upstairs. And I remember Bonnie, one of the girls, she was a teacher at Unkwa School, and she had already gotten home, and she was talking about this awful wind. Oh, you know. And then Hortense, the other girl that lived with us, there was three of us lived together. She worked for Howland's at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't think she was going to get home.
Oh,
we couldn't figure out how she was going to get home.
Wow. What street were you, what was the address that you were living
at? We lived on, I can't remember the name of the street.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Heck, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Wilson Street, I think.
Oh, okay.
Wilson Street, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That seems to ring a bell. Wilson Street.
And where
Street.
Were you working at the time?
I was working for, up on Tunks Hill Road,
mm-hmm.
and I worked for what was his name? Jack Duran. But Jack was from New York originally, and he came up here because he was building garbage trucks.
Hmm.
You know, with the lift in the back. Now, you ask me about garbage trucks, I could tell you how to do things on those, because I used to get into the back of those things when the city would call up and say, our garbage truck isn't working. And
really?
Jack would be out of town, so I'd go down and I'd take a look at it, and because he told me how to, you know, Jack showed me how to do things
uh-huh.
on the truck. And I can remember going down to the city yard or city garbage uh-huh. disposal place, and the truck would be... Some little thing would be wrong with it, you know. Mossop, Sharp Mossop
mm-hmm.
is who was up there on Texas Hill Road. It was his offices, but I didn't actually work for Sharp.
Mm-hmm. So did you help your dad at all at his work when you were younger? No, he was a busy guy.
He was a treasurer for the Painters Union, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have people coming to the house to, instead of going to meetings to pay their dues, they'd come to the house to pay dues. And I used to, my father wasn't home all the time waiting for people to show up to pay dues. So I would take the dues and I would make out a receipt and mm-hmm. I'd sign Peter Brewster. And they'd look at it and I'd say, it looks just like his.
Wow, good forger.
Yeah, good forger. Yeah.
Was he in the Socialist Party?
Huh?
Was he in the Socialist? Was he
yeah,
a socialist?
It was a Socialist Party, but it was Jasper's.
Yeah.
You know, it was an independent situation.
Mm-hmm.
It really didn't. I can remember Norman Thomas was with the Socialist Party, and I can remember Norman Thomas. As a matter of fact, the last time I saw him, it was in. I was in New York, and I was going somewhere. I can't remember. I was going on a plane, and somebody was pushing him in a wheelchair in the airport. So he evidently was in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Towards it. Why are you in, may I ask, why you're in a wheelchair?
Oh, I have MS.
You're what?
MS, multiple sclerosis. I have
that. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you catch that, or is it something that just develops?
Oh,
or?
No, it's a neurological thing that I've... No, you can't.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Have you had it all your life, or
no,
is it... Oh, no, I don't know enough about it, so that I was just curious.
Yeah.
Multiple sclerosis.
Sclerosis. MS, yeah.
MS.
Yeah, it's a neurological...
Now, can you walk at all?
I have trouble with my legs, yeah, so that's why I use a wheelchair.
If you have a cane or something?
It's hard, yeah.
But you can.
Yeah,
if
very difficult, yeah.
Difficult.
The balance is bad, so.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's okay. You can ask me anything.
No, I just,
you should be interviewing me, too. Well, let's see. So what? So we're covering over, I'm interested in what your feeling of is about Jasper McLevy. Did you get to know him at all, and his
get
wife,
to know
Vida?
Him. God, he was like a second father to me.
Really?
Yeah. Jasper, I can remember, as a matter of fact, I have an article at home. He was I used to type all his speeches for him when he was doing it. And I remember I worked for Hannon Lumber, and that was owned by Schwartz Brothers, the lumber company.
Mm-hmm.
And John Schwartz was running for mayor against Jasper. And I was sitting there one time, it was after work, and I was typing up, I had one of Jasper's speeches in front of me, and I was typing up, and he used to write it, you know, he'd have it in like single lines, and I would space it out in three because it would be easier to read, you know, if it was spaced. And I can remember sitting in my typewriter typing, and John Schwartz came in, and he said, "What are you doing here? You know, it's late, and it was after work and stuff." And I said, "Well, I'm, you know, typing a speech." And so evidently it got back to somebody in the newspaper business, and they put an article in the paper about how I worked for John Schwartz. He was the one that was paying me, and I was doing Jasper's speeches.
Wow. So how was he like a father too? Just like just...
Oh, he was, you know, real friendly and nice, and Dida was the same way. I mean, I remember her father, Pop Stearns, we used to call him, Dida Stearns, Pop Stearns. And they lived out on East Main Street. I think that part of the city is gone now. I don't think it's still there anymore. Their house isn't there, I'm sure. But no, I mean, I knew Jasper as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when I was a little kid, I can remember Jasper around. And he was always running. He ran for everything that you could run for.
Right.
You know? Governor and mayor and...
Was he, did he have a good sense of humor? Do you remember?
He wasn't, he didn't have a sense of humor, but he was, and he wasn't, he was a very serious type of person, I thought, in other words. Maybe he did, but, you know, I was a young kid, and, you know, why would he have any reason to, you know, be humorous with me? But, I mean, I always thought of him as being very, you know, close to the family, and he and Vida were real close. I mean, they, you know, they knew us, and I liked her. I remember when they announced their wedding, you know, announced when they got married. They were married for a while before, but they had a place up in the country.
In Washington, yeah.
And, they were...
Did you ever get to go up there to see their place up there?
No, I never was up there. I had been asked to go up, but it just, you know, they were older people I was interested in.
Was there a big headline when they found out that the two of them had been married?
Yeah.
Did you already know they were married?
No. But, no, nobody knew. They just kept it to themselves. They... Just in, you know, all of a sudden they just announced it. But,
So, Pops Stern and Vida lived on East.
They lived on East Main, away down. In other words, if you were going over Stratford Avenue, you would turn right to go down East Main.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't go up East Main to the left.
Mm-hmm.
You would go right because it was a short, maybe two blocks, and then you were in the water.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a house. They lived down there on East Main Street. The house was on the, as you were going down, I think it was on the left side of the street, if I recall right, yeah. A nice house.
Mm-hmm. So Jasper wasn't living there with him?
He lived with his sister up on Salem Street.
Salem Street, I think it was.
But he lived with his, you know, supposedly lived with his sister. I don't know. I was young, and, you know, it didn't make any difference to me where they lived. I couldn't care less at that point, you know, and I had other things, you know, I wasn't interested in, you know, them that much. They were old people, you know, as far as I was concerned. Oh, they were.
Oh, yeah, I understand, you know. Yeah. So, when you graduated from high school and everything, you went to business school, did any of your other family go to school or college or anything?
Well, my sister Dorothy went to Harding also, and she graduated and she went to work at Manny Maxwell and Moore, I think. And my brother Freddie went to UB, University of Bridgeport, And my sister Dolores went to, where did she go? Somewhere, New Haven, I think, to college. And my brother Bobby didn't, I don't think he even graduated from grammar, from high school. Not from grammar school, but from high school. I don't think he graduated because he worked. And I can't even remember what he did. But, yeah.
So where were you when World War II broke out? Where were you living?
I was working at Remington Arms Company.
Oh. What were you doing there?
I worked for a man that was head of the personnel department. We hired people from all over and transferred. It's a DuPont company. But we were transferring people from all over the United States into Remington. You know, they had several different, they were up in Ilion, New York, and they were in, I'm trying to think of other places. They had four or five factories around doing things. And we would be transferring people to different, but I worked for, as a secretary, actually, is what it was it amounted to.
Right. Do you remember anything interesting, though, during that period of time that was, you know, everything was going on with the war and,
No, it was, you know, the war, and we were interested in food, you know, we're trying to get meat and trying to get food and stuff, but my father used to bring home beef once in a while because he had the slaughterhouse there, you know, as part of the Department of Public Works, and somebody would come in and slaughter a pig or something, you know, and they'd give him a piece of it, you know, we'd have a pork chop or something, but... No, I don't remember anything.
Yeah. Well, it must have been an interesting period, though.
It was, I suppose. You know, people... I'm trying to remember, you know, something that...
Did you ever listen to the radio, or were you radio people at all?
We did. You know, you'd turn it on at night for news or something like that, but... That would be about it, as far as I was concerned. I wasn't. I still am not much of a radio. The only radio I listen to is in my car, and it's because it's on all the time. I never think to turn it off. It's just on automatically. It's, you know, it's on 880. I know the station is on 880, and that's it.
So what did you do for fun, like, when you were living in Bridgeport? Do you remember anything particular when you got older, you know? When did you actually move out of Bridgeport?
Let's see. During the war, I worked at Remington, and I left Remington and went into New York.
So were you living at home still when you were
No, I lived with these girls out in Black Rock, as I say. I know I went into New York, and then Hortense followed me. She came into New York. Bonnie got married, and...
What was Hortense's last name?
Fillion, F-I-L-L-I-O-N. And she... Her name was Newkirk, and she had been married to this fellow by the name of Fillion. And I guess they got divorced. Eventually, but anyhow, Bonnie was married to Stephen Chalfa, C-H-A-L-F-A, and had, I think she had a son. And she was a teacher at Umpqua. And I went into New York in 45. And I'm trying to remember, how I happened to go to New York. I can't remember why I went or how I happened to go there. But, I got a job working for this man. I know how I went down there. During the war, Donovan Newton and Leisure and Lombard, which is a big law firm in New York City, had some work they had to have done, and Remington sent me down to do it, to do the work with them. They were transferring people, or they were, I don't know, they were doing some kind of work with people that we had at Remington, but they wanted to be able to have the right names and their positions and stuff like that. And of course, being in the personnel department at Remington, I knew all that information. So they sent me down there. And while I was there, I got friendly with one of the women there, and she said she thought I should be in New York, working in New York. So after I went back to Remington, And they started to transferring people out then because the war was over and they were transferring people. The man I worked for was a DuPont man originally, and they transferred him back to DuPont mm-hmm. in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted me to go, you know, to take a job with him in New York in the DuPont company because I could have been transferred back, transferred there. And I can't remember if it was that that got me into New York or whether I just decided I wanted, I decided to go to New York, that I'd like to travel, mm-hmm. like to try New York and see if I could, what I could do there. And I went into New York and I worked, I got a job. Oh, I had friends, I had very good friends in New York. And as a matter of fact, I'm godmother to this girl's daughter that I was friendly with, and they also talked me into coming into New York. And so between them, I went into New York, and I got a job through a newspaper ad, as I recall. And it was down on Wall Street. And after being there for a while, I decided I didn't like the job, I didn't like going to Wall Street, I didn't like anything about it. So I started looking around again for a job, and I finally answered an ad in the paper, and it was for a job as a secretary to this man on 7th Avenue. And it was Work Clothes Headquarters was the name of the outfit. And this man traveled a lot because he was a salesman for these outfits. And finally he decided to, and of course left me in the office, and people would come in, they'd want to see, you know, samples of stuff, and I'd show them to them and take orders and stuff and send them back out. And he finally decided to retire, and he told them at the factories down, the factories were in North Carolina, he told them that they thought, he thought I should take over. So I took over the job as representative for them. And then finally one day I thought 7th Avenue isn't the place to be, the Empire State Building is. So I moved to the State Empire State Building. And that's where I stayed until I quit that and came back to Bridgeport.
And what? Where were you at the Empire State Building? What company do you remember?
I was with the Work Clothes Headquarters.
Oh, okay.
I took the company with me.
Wow.
That was the company I stayed with them. And I represented, and they were North Carolina manufacturers, made men's dungarees. I had more dungarees in the back of my car. Everybody I knew, even the cops on the highway knew me, because one cop stopped me because I was speeding one time, and which was not unusual. I was always speeding because I would be going back and forth from New York. You know, I'd decide to come up home and have supper with my father and mother or something, and I'd go back, and I, you know, it would be nighttime and I wanted to get back to work, back to the, I had an apartment on 57th Street at that point, and I wanted to get home. So I'd be speeding down. So this one cop stopped me one time. I don't know. He wanted to know. Oh, I had a car with North Carolina markers. That's uh-huh. what it was that stopped me. And he wanted to know where I was going and what and blah, blah, blah. So I told him. I said, well, I'm just coming from Bridgeport and I'm going back to New York. And what are you doing in Bridgeport? And I said, well, I was up talking to my father and mother. I happened to be seeing my father that night. And I said, well, I was up talking to my father. And so he looked at my license and he said, Brewster? And I said, yes. And he said, yeah. Is your father Peter Brewster? I said, yes. Oh. So then he started talking to me, and I finally decided, I asked him if he was married, and he said, yes. And I said, any children? He said, yes. And I had some children's dungarees in my car. So I opened up the back of the trunk of the car, and I said, here. I said, you know, how old are they? And they just happened to be all. After that, every time I went up and down that damn highway, I'd have a cop stop me because they were looking for dungarees. Because there was something new, you know, at that uh-huh. point for kids.
Oh, okay.
And they weren't anything yeah. that children had been using.
Uh-huh.
And so I always kept a good supply of dungarees in the back car. Always remember that. Yeah.
How did your father and mom feel about you living and working in New York?
Can you ever see him?
Mm-hmm.
My father liked it because he'd come into New York. I used to go with a fella that had a furniture business, an antique business on 52nd Street. And that's like across from the Radio City.
Mm-hmm.
And when Radio City needed any furniture, like, you know, they had displays or something, you know, people would be on the stage and they'd need certain kind of a chair or a little sofa or something. They'd go over to Harry's place and he'd let them borrow it. And so he got so that he knew them, you know, he knew all the people in the theater. And so my father used to like to come in because he'd go out, he'd come into New York sometimes, wouldn't even say hello to me. He wouldn't even call me up and tell me he was in town until after he was ready to go home. And he'd call up Harry, or he'd go, why did he call Harry? And the two of them would go off with for dinner and a few drinks and stuff, and then they'd go over to see the show. They'd go in the backstage entrance, and my father thought that was
Wow, that's super. Man.
He thought that was great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to be able to do that. So he'd come up once in a
Do you remember the name of the furniture store that Harry worked at or owned?
Oh God, I can't think of the name of it.
It was right near the
42nd. It was on 52nd Street, mm-hmm. and it was like in back, you know, the stage entrance would be mm-hmm. like there or something, and it was like across the street from it. Isn't that awful? I can't think of the name of it.
Did you go see a lot of plays in New York?
Yeah. I like New York.
Do you remember anything, you know, any stories about the city then, or things that just particularly you remember that?
Well, I can remember going into New York when I was still working for Remington, and they sent me to New York to help out with this work that I was doing down there. And I went to see, what was it, Oklahoma? It was such a big show or something. They got me a ticket for Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And I can remember coming back and telling people that I'd gone to see Oklahoma, and they thought, oh, that was terrific, you know, I'd go to see Oklahoma. It's just another show as far as mm-hmm. I'm concerned. But, yeah, we used to go to the theater a lot. I mean,
When you lived in Black Rock, this is just a good side, did you ever go to the Ritz? The Ritz Ballroom? Because that was over there.
No, I never, I'm a lousy dancer. My father used to say I have two left feet. I have no sense of rhythm at all. None. So the Ritz never was.
Yeah.
I'd been there a couple of times, but it wasn't one of the things that I would, you know, be interested in going to.
Did you all ever go to Pleasure Beach?
Oh yeah, we'd go out to Pleasure Beach a lot. You know, we'd go over there, but not to the dance or anything, or to the music. But we'd go over to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to like to go to, for the beach, I always liked Seaside Park. I used to like to go to Seaside Park for the beach down there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, there was just, I liked it better than Pleasure Beach.
Mm-hmm.
But you're asking me about the name of this Harry's furniture store.
it'll come to you. You know what happens when
middle
you
of
pass
night.
It? It'll come
middle
to
of
you.
Night, it'll come to me.
Right, I just was curious, because maybe did it end up being a bigger store?
No, it was a small furniture store, mm-hmm. and it was just furniture, you know, he didn't have a lot of other things that, you know, stores have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had, like, chairs and couches and, you know, all that sort mm-hmm. of stuff that you, furniture. But, mm-hmm. you know, some of it was antiques. I mean, he had a real eye mm-hmm. for going in, and if he walked in somewhere, and he would buy up, like, an estate. And if he walked in someplace and they had something sitting on a shelf and it was really good, you know, an antique and it was mm-hmm. worth money, he would buy that whole estate just to get that one piece.
Wow.
Because that one piece would make him enough money to pay for the rest of the estate, you know.
He knew
antiques.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, yeah, Harry and my father used to get along real good.
So did you ever get married, or
no.
did you were a single working woman? I love
yeah.
it, just like
yeah.
me.
No, I Harry several times. I went with him for the first day, I guess, or a couple. I was only in New York a short time when I met him because through friends of, as I say, Julie and Harvey. Their daughter, I'm the godmother, and through them, he was a friend of Harvey,
mm-hmm.
and through them, I met Harry. And we started going out, and we just went out, God, for about 20 years. And when he wanted to get married, I didn't feel like it. And when I felt like it, he didn't feel like it. So it was one of those things. We just never got married. And I just never got married. I don't know. I was always happy, mm-hmm. you know.
I understand completely.
You do? No, you know, in other words, you can do what you want when you feel like it. I've done a lot of traveling, mm-hmm. and I can pack up and go whenever I feel like it. I don't have to ask somebody, can I take next week off or 2 weeks off to go here or go there or go mm-hmm. someplace else? I like being single, and I like being able to do what I want to do when I feel like it. I want to go to bed at 6 o'clock at night, I can go to bed at 6 o'clock at night. If I want to stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning, I can stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning.
It sounds very familiar. So when did you end up coming back here?
Well,
you actually own the business in New York. Same business?
No, I decided I was going to build. I had an apartment in New York, and I decided I wanted a house out in the country. So I came up, and I was talking to somebody one day, and they said they knew of a lot up in Easton. And I asked, you know, where and what and have you and so forth. And they told me Tony Pascone owned the lot. Well, Tony Pascone, I grew up with the Pascone family. You know, they were over. Mm-hmm. We went to school together. Not Tony, but his sister Eva and mm-hmm. another sister. And so I went up to Easton and I looked at the piece of property and I liked it and I bought it. And then I decided I had to build something on it. So I drew up some, you know, pictures of what I'd like. My father looked at them and he made some changes in them. And he had a friend that was a builder. And so I decided to build a house. Well, it was a house, and it was, by the time I got through it, it was worth a lot of money, believe me, it
wow.
was. it's like anything you start, you know, you should just walk away from it mm-hmm. and let them do what they want to do. You know, you get the thing laid out and just go ahead and do it, and when you're through, call me up and let me know and I'll come back. But I didn't. I'd come up every Saturday or every weekend and look at what Ted had done, you know, he was a builder, and we'd do this and do that and change something else in here, and we'd add a little bit here and do something else there. And I finally, by the time I got through, it was really a nice house.
Uh-huh.
So I finally decided I would come up weekends, and I decided this is ridiculous. You know, I got this house up there. Why should I not live in it? So I decided to move to Easton, which I did. Gave up my apartment in New York. And I went in by train every day to New York. I took the train in every day. And finally, one day, I'm going in, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're stupid. Who needs it? And I called up Pat Brown, who owned Trout and Shirt Company and Trout and Garmer Company, and I told him to find somebody else to take over the business because I was going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He found somebody else. He found a salesman that took over, and Pat took care of it for me and everything. So I moved back to Easton, and I decided to retire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just had it. And after about a year of retiring, I thought, I'm going bananas. So I started answering ads. I thought, I'll get a job as a secretary where I go in the morning, take dictation, and sit there and type, and go home at night and forget about the whole thing. So anyhow, I answered a few ads for secretaries, and finally one morning, I'm not a morning person, by the way, I'm a night person. So one morning about, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning, my telephone rings, and I pick up, hello? You know, lots of enthusiasm. This man's on the phone. He's real nice and talking to me, blah, blah, blah. And my answer to his ad, and when could I come in to see him, you know, so forth, blah, 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 blah. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm thinking, who the hell is this guy at 8 o'clock in the morning calling up people about an ad in the paper, you know? So I finally said, well, I'm sorry, but I'm still in bed. I said, I'm not a morning person, but I said, I'll be glad to come in this afternoon if it's convenient. So we fly in this afternoon. I went in, and it was at Hoffman Fuel Company. And it was Mr. Hoffman who owned it, but the Hoffman brothers had sold it to Standard Oil. Mm-hmm. They no longer own the fuel company. And they were starting up a new business, real estate development. Mm-hmm. And it sounded interesting, and I thought, this sounds good. So I took the job. He wanted me to start work at 8 o'clock. I said, I haven't gone to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, in 40 years. I said, I don't plan to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to get here at 8 o'clock. I said, if we can make it 9, I'd be ready to have to take the job. All right, start at 9 o'clock. So I took the job with Hoffman Brothers. And that was it until I stayed with them until, 1981, I think. And I've been retired since then. Mm-hmm. But I took the job anyhow, and it was developing property around the city, and it was interesting, and I enjoyed it, and they were nice people to work for. Great.
Was it right here in the city?
Yeah. We had offices down on, you know, where the Liberty Building is downtown on mm-hmm. Main Street? Mm-hmm. Right across from the City Hall, old City Hall Green there. What is it, McLevy Green? Uh-huh. Well, it's the Liberty Building is right across. Uh-huh. Excuse me. So we had offices there. And I worked for them for almost 20 years, I think it was.
I lived in Easton.
And then finally, I got sick or something. And my sisters were both married, had children, and I'm trying to remember what the heck I got sick with. Oh, I had a gallbladder operation or something, I guess it was. And when I came home from the hospital, they wanted me to go to their houses to stay, and I said, no way, I don't want to do that. So they would run up, you know, to take care of me and blah, blah, blah. And so they finally said, you know, you should be closer to us. You're in Bridgeport and blah. So I finally thought, well, maybe I should, you know, get out of the house and not worry about grass growing and, you know, all the snow removal, because I had a big long drive going up to this house in Easton. And I thought, maybe they're right. I should get a little small apartment somewhere and forget about the whole thing. So I bought a co-op on Vincelette Street, mm-hmm. sold a house in Easton. And I was there for a couple of years, and I decided, my sister who lives next door to me, she has a duplex house. She owns the house. And she has upstairs 3 bedrooms, and I have 1 bedroom and a bath upstairs, and I have a living room and kitchen and dinette downstairs.
Perfect, yeah.
And I rent, mm-hmm. pay rent. I don't own anything. So I don't have to, the only thing I own is a car. So if I drop dead tomorrow, they can fight about anything else that's there.
So you had built this beautiful house in Easton and then lived there. Well, it sounded great. But
you know, it's funny. I built a house, and I sold it finally to somebody that somebody knew, mm-hmm. you know, that they knew, and they knew I was selling it, so they bought it. And they sold it recently to a young couple. So there's a young couple. There's only 2 bedrooms.
Oh, okay.
It was a 2-bedroom house. I didn't want any more. Uh-huh. It's all on one floor. And I saw in the paper how they sold it, you know, the price they got for it and everything. And I thought to myself, boy, they got about 6 times more than what I sold it for.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Property's gone up, so, you know.
Houses of real things have really gone mm-hmm. up. I actually live in the house that, in Brooklawn, that was owned by, I'm going to forget his name, Bruno. Robert Bruno. Bob Bruno. He actually ran for mayor against McLevy.
Isn't he doing a lot of building of apartments and stuff like? Is he?
I don't. He died when I bought the house. He was already dead, so I don't know.
Maybe it's another Robert Bruno.
His son. I don't know.
Oh well.
Yeah.
I used to know. We had a Bob Bruno that was over in St. Mary's. Or if it's the same one.
I don't know. Yeah, I think there's a few of them. Because I live, yeah, but,
out in Brookline Avenue?
Yeah, but on the Brookline area, Pierce Ave. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's, right next to where, I can't remember. Anyway, I'm having trouble remembering, and you're remembering things from 40 years ago. You have a wonderful memory, by the way. You have a good memory. A lot of people, you know, you can remember all the details. It's great.
Oh, God, I could go on and on. I could go on for 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, we might. Maybe I'm going to maybe listen to what we might go back. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Or,
no, no.
Because we've gone through a lot, and the tape recorder is still going.
Well.
But I know what I'm going to ask you. What do you think about some of the changes in Bridgeport over the years? I mean, not, you know, to the, from, let's just think about, like, the 30s. 40s, 50s, you know, like what, as you see the transitions at all, or, you know.
I never paid too much attention, you know, to, I know there's a lot of building going up. Gosh, I came over today over Old Town Road, and I there's something going over there. I don't know what it is. It's a big, big something. Mm. As you come down Old Town Road, and there's a street goes up to, there's a, what do they have, a name for it? It's, but on the corner, there's something, it's going up there. It's only been going up a week, I guess, and it's a big, tremendous building that's going up.
Is that
up
on the Trumbull side, or?
I think it probably would be, yeah.
Another department.
But if you come down, you come down Old Town Road, and then you go around a corner, and you come down, and just a little short drive to Old Town Road, and come over to Main Street. There's not Commerce Park, but there's like a lot of buildings in there that are offices and stuff in that particular the street comes down like this, but it crosses Old Town Road, and there's a lot of buildings in there. But this is on the corner over there, and I thought, I'm coming along, I'm looking at the thing, and I had to stop because I couldn't believe this thing has gone up in like a week, and it's tremendous, and I don't know what's going up there. It can't be I don't know, there's a school or going to be some kind of a business.
I don't actually know. But that reminds me of, let's get back to Pete Brewster for a minute. And there is that line that everybody always says McCleavy said, "Let the snow melt." And do you think that Jess McCleavy ever said that, or do you think it was your father?
Nah, Jasper wouldn't have said that. He wasn't the type that would have said something like that, you know.
Do you think your father probably said it at one point? Just they didn't give him very big money to do anything. I mean, Jasper never gave him a lot of money to do anything, did he?
Didn't give him a lot of money, and he. He was, none of the people that went in there ever got raises to amount to anything. I mean, I was making more money than my father was, a heck of a lot, twice as much as my father. And he had this big job, you know, I mean, it's a responsible job, Public Works is. And my father's salary was about half as what I was getting. You know, I mean, and I know that, you know, they never, I don't know, they never seemed to get any raises or, and it wasn't just Jasper himself. I don't think anybody, I don't know what it was, but they never seemed to care whether they got a raise or not. You know, it just, they,
Your father worked around the clock and didn't
Knew when he was going to be going to work. You know, people would call up and they'd, or there would be something happening, you know, sewer line break or, But, no, I often thought about that. You know, looking back, I've thought, it's amazing how little these people got, you know, they just didn't get the money that they should have gotten for the jobs they were doing. I mean, the city clerk, you know, he didn't get that much. I don't know what it was, whether the city just didn't, maybe they figured they'd get away with it.
I wonder what do you think Jasper or your dad would think now when they look at the city the way, you know, just what's gone on in the last 20 years or something?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know there seems to be, I ride up and down the streets, and it seems like there's a lot of new houses around mm-hmm. and new buildings. I'm surprised at how many new houses there are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost any street you go up and down today, you'll see maybe one somewhere, or, you know, or maybe a whole slew of them, mm-hmm. you know, of houses. And I'm thinking to myself, gee, you know, they talk about the city, you know, the taxes are high and this, but you look at other cities, and this other cities, their taxes are high, mm-hmm. higher.
Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, it's almost, I know they're squeezing houses on little lots in the middle of black.
Yeah.
Well, I won't keep you much longer. I can't think of anything else to ask you. Is there anything else you want to talk about that we didn't cover? Or you've led such an interesting life. Really, I just quite a time here in Bridgeport. But I not too much. The McClevey, the one thing I am thinking about doing right now, because I have a lot on my shoulders, is McClevey Hall as it stands now, which is the building that your father's office was in. The building is just falling apart. And the if you look at it. Have you been down there? It's just... needs a lot of work, so we really need to.
It's too bad, because it was a nice old building,
mm-hmm.
and I would hate to see anything happen to it. I really would. I mean, it's a
famous architect actually designed that building, so we were going to do some work on
that. No, it'd be a shame to let the thing collapse, and
mm-hmm.
they really should, you know, keep it up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that great. Back in my father's day, I mean, it wasn't, you know, there was work needed to be done on it.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah.
They spend money on other things that are crazy and, you know, something like that that they really should.
Well, we're going to have to spend some money on it. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. And it was a beautiful afternoon outside, and here you're in here in this closed room with me.
But I'll tell you very truthfully, I'm starting my spring. Is it spring? Yeah, spring.
Mm-hmm.
House cleaning. And I got a bedroom and a bathroom upstairs, and I don't think they're ever going to get done.
Join the club.
Oh, geez, I hate housework. I detest it. I can remember I used to love it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I used to like to keep things shiny and nice and everything, but...
Well, you picked the career, didn't you? So you were a smart woman. Alrighty, thank you so much for sitting here with me.
You're welcome, Mary.